If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Привет, старый. I want to congratulate you. Obviously, beat the NHL record for the goals, Pastor Wayne Gretzky, and a great accomplishment for you, for your family, and all this, your friends who support you. You know, it's you have a great career. You are a legend, Hall of Famer. So enjoy that, you know, and you got new chapter starting your life. And I wish you all good luck and all the best. Love you, man. Congrats.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. We'll take you all the way up to 6:15 this evening. Dmitry Orlov celebrating his guy, Alex Ovechkin. A lot of the teams around the league having former Capitals issue him a congratulations on behalf of their club. That was their kind of out without making it all about Ovi on their social feeds. But I did like all the former players coming back to celebrate Ovechkin.
It's cool, man.
Because it seems to me like if you ever spent any time playing with him, you love him. I don't know if it's the soda in the water bottle or the fact that he eats crazy things that no one else does.
Got a nickname for everybody that only makes sense to him.
The lovable personality, the song that he sings with each individual player. But he's just one of those guys. I don't know that anyone who's played with him didn't like him. It's certainly never been made public if that was the case. But the celebration continues today of 895, Ovechkin passing Wayne Gretzky. And one of the analysts who's been here from the very beginning of Ovi's career chronicling each and every one of these amazing snipes, Alan May of Monumental Sports joins us now. Mayday, it's great to have you on, Grant and Danny. Thank you for hopping aboard the celebration today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Worn out from Ovi chasing this record, and I didn't skate a lap. I didn't take a shot, block a shot, take a hit, make a hit. But it's been tiring. It's been crazy.
It's funny you say that. It's so true. I mean, we've done some watch parties and events and kind of a little more work on our end just following it. But watching how deep into the night the celebrations go and then knowing the way that they've been partying and getting after it a little bit, for not only for his play not to have fallen off with all of that, plus the attention and the responsibilities, but Mayday, he scored in five straight, six in his last five, seven in his last seven, eight in his last nine. Like, he's playing some of the best hockey of his career during all this.
Well, he's been ramping up, and, you know, I thought once he got to 888, you know, that's just a crazy number in itself, but at 890, it got real, and I think that also led him up a little bit more and showed him that it was going to happen this season, and, you know, there were still people questioning whether he was going to do it this season. I never, ever wavered in my thoughts of it. I've never actually, and you know this, I've never bet against him because he's superhuman to me in the hockey world. Just like I was growing up with Gretzky, playing against Gretzky. And there's just something about these guys that they're able to raise up, level up to the greatest moments. And this guy's got such a passion and a love for the game. The same for scoring goals. And he's done it like no one has ever done it before. So that's kind of empowering him and inspiring him to get it going. And I know he doesn't want this story to be over for this 50th season of the Capitals. He wants it to keep going well into June, and I hope that he does, because we'll all be right there with him. And 2018 was the best time of this franchise history. I think yesterday was the second, a very close second, to 2018 and winning the Cup.
Yeah, Alan, everywhere you look at these numbers, they're all, it's comical. It's like, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. It defies belief. But kind of your point, it's superhuman almost. What kind of, just as a way to look at this, to try to quantify what he's accomplished, which sort of stat or which sort of figure or which sort of part of this stands out to you the most, where you just go, it's just so unbelievable. I wish folks understood how ridiculous this all is.
The consistency of excellence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've had a turnover of coaches, some solid coaches, some really bad coaches, in my opinion. And it, no matter what, he was consistent throughout. And, you know, so durable. And he had a 65-goal season. He's had lockouts. And when you break it down, the first 10 years of his career, basically uninterrupted, hardly an injury. And then the last 10 years of his career, you've got lockout, you've got pandemic-shortened seasons, which cost him a lot of goals. And this year, finally breaking something to break this fibula and come back after 16-game absence and just go on the same amount, the same tear, and to start this season being the leading goal scorer in the NHL before he was injured. And it's, I don't know if anyone on the Capitals ever passed him while he was out of the lineup in the goal scoring department. So I look at the last 10 years of his career, his goals a game average is greater than the first 10 years. That defies all odds when players should be slowing down. And one of the things I really love about that, there are so many statistical geeks out there that tell you to sell on guys when they're 30, 31, 32 years old. Well, this guy's 40 right away, and he continued to light up the numbers, to turn the red light on. And these people that said, oh, he's going to slow down, I don't care. Special people, the great ones, are built different. They think different. They behave different. And this guy is as special as they get. There is no greater goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. And he's done it his way. It's been power. And, oh, by the way, he's 275 hits away from being the NHL's all-time hitter. So you combine those two things, the strength, the power, the speed that he's exhibited over years, you add the goal scoring with the hitting, there's been no more successful physical player in the National Hockey League.
Alan May, Monumental Sports and Entertainment Caps analyst pre and post, joining us on Grant and Danny. He's been here throughout Alex Ovechkin's legendary run. How about the way his teammates have reacted? I found that really cool. And you guys have done a really amazing job showing so much video on the post-game show, so we feel like flies on the wall in the locker room. But, Alan, all the veteran NHL guys who are really good players in their own right, coming up, getting pictures with him and the puck like they're kids, you know, who played mites on ice or something, or the former players from around the league that are wishing him well, seeing Oshie and Backstrom make the trip and be part of the travel party. Doesn't that say a lot about him too?
Well, one of the things that I think is really cool, you know, it's great that the teammates and players around the league are doing this. And, you know, this is one great thing about the smartphone, is everyone can get snap a picture with them, because my entire career, I never had a camera with me, never owned a camera, never had a device that could take a picture. And, you know, I wish we had that, you know, for some of the guys that I played with. But what I think is really cool is after the games, I'm downstairs, and Ovi seeking out the star players of the other teams to take pictures of them. So is, and then get his kid and John Carlson and their kids, and they take pictures, and then they get out of the picture and they let the kids do solo pictures with the other guys. So, you know, he's beloved by everyone in the game. And I remember that when he first started, any reason anyone could find to hate the Russian player, they used it. And there was a lot of old guys in television that were born and bred to hate the Russians, that were born and bred to hate anyone that didn't come from Canada and then North America. You know, that's completely changed. He used to be ridiculed for his celebrations. Now everyone imitates and emulates the celebrations. I think it's amazing. The amount of number 8 jerseys when we travel around the National Hockey League is overwhelming. The fan base is cheering, and it all started in Chicago a few years ago when he had that hat trick. I was in the building doing the radio with John Walton that night. We did a pregame show, but it was a national broadcast. And I got tears in my eyes at the Chicago fans cheering him on after he got to 798, then 799, 800, the place went crazy. And to see the way that Jonathan Toews and his teammates celebrated Ovechkin that night and the fans chanting his name, not just the ones in Capitals red, but the fans. And it's been so spectacular. And in our game, that has been happening. And what we saw yesterday on Long Island, not a place that loves him, not a place that loves anyone else other than their own team. They were in total support of Alexander Ovechkin. I think that's a great thing about hockey. It doesn't matter where you come from. We try to keep politics out of it. And everything was incredibly special yesterday. As much as I wanted it Thursday night here at Capital One, I wanted him to do it no matter what. And an unscripted moment that just turned out to be a beautiful thing for the game of hockey.
Alan, you touched on this, but I'd love for you to go into it with your amazing insight, having played the game at a high level yourself. The evolution of his game, like when he first came in the league, he hit everything. Sometimes it was the puck. Sometimes it was another player. I mean, whatever. Like, things were getting hit hard and he flew around. He now, to me, is sort of just on cruise control a lot of times, whether it's conserving or just moving smartly like a shark that's not hunting, you know? And then when it comes time to spring, he goes. But it's dirtier goals now. It's still the shot. It's still the office. It's still some of those beautiful snipes. But it just seems his game has evolved and the scoring totals haven't gone down. And you touched on it. They're as good as they've ever been. Go into that evolution and how he's still doing this at this age.
Well, one of the things I will say is that years ago, when I had time to meet and be with Cordy Howe, he shared this, that when you think you've learned it all in the game of hockey, the game is over for you. It'll always change, and you've always got to learn. And as time's gone on, Ovi's understood different ways to play. And the game has changed drastically, probably every 3 to 4 years, how it's been played and how it's been coached. And he's adapted and he's evolved. And one thing I will say, the reason he's not getting 12 to 20 hits a night right now is that body's got a lot of scar tissue on it. It's held together with barbed wire and tape. And the fact he's still able to play after being as physical as he's been, there was no player faster in the National Hockey League. And this is proven with tracking that the NHL's done. For about the first 14 years of his career, every single season, he had the highest speed burst of any player in the league. I don't think he can do it for a lap or two, but going straight end to end, there's been no player that's been able to reach those speeds. And then you combine that with throwing body checks and hitting. And I remember when Bruce Boudreau was coaching, he unleashed all these guys, Greener and Backe and Semin and of course, Ovi. And Ovi, and I loved it. I loved the big hits, and I never will not love a big hit in a hockey game. But Ovi would go out there and get 12 hits, but a lot of times they'd be in the right winger's corner and there'd be a gap in the ice. And none of the guys back then knew how to play the game without the puck. Like, they had a lot to learn, because as an offensive player, all you ever dream about is creating offense, scoring goals, making plays. And you think defense is just coming back to your own end, but there's a lot to being back in your own end. So as time's gone by, he sacrificed some of those big hits to be closer to the position that his team needs him in. And they all learned that lesson in 2018 about when they finally became a defensive team to win the Stanley Cup, because they knew they could score the goals, but they used to try out Pittsburgh, the Penguins, with speed and odd man rushes, and then, you know, annihilate them physically with body checks. And they finally figured it out. And Barry Trotz, to his credit, finally bit the bullet and went into a defensive posture. And all those players, that wasn't lost on Carlson, Ovechkin, Wilson, and Backstrom, and Oshie, that they needed to be really good without the puck. And I think that's where Ovi has proven to everyone that he loves to score goals, but I don't think we've ever seen anyone celebrate the way he celebrated when Gary Bettman handed him the cup that June 17th in 2018. So it's an evolution of understanding the game. And the other half of it, I think that body, he wouldn't be here if he kept up the Rock'em Sock'em hockey. He'd be in trouble physically. And the fact that he's still playing just blows my mind, because I didn't think that body would let him.
Alan May on G&D here on The Fan. Alan, we have not really at any point today talked much about the team and the cup chances, because it's been such an Ovi party. But if you don't mind, I'd like to discuss that for a second, because they're not really playing very good hockey. They played down to some bad teams recently, and maybe a lot of that is tied directly to the chase, because when the priority was the team, they ran away with the division, they ran away with the conference. Now maybe, you know, they had such a lead, they go, okay, let's get this record. But they get the 3 days off, then there's a handful of games left. Other than getting Protus back healthy, which will be critical, and Logan Thompson as well, you know, the goaltending hasn't been as good. They're just not playing at the same level. Are you worried about how they're playing right now at all?
No, and you know, I'm going to stick up for the goalies. And you know what I think has happened is when you look at how they played this year, every game they got the first place in the National Hockey League, and I think they got a little bit of a first place physical hangover. And how that came about is they were involved in every game. We'd see them down by two goals. No team has had more comebacks in the third period or the second period or just being down in general in a game than the Washington Capitals. So they stayed tight in every game, which means you have to be more physically, emotionally, and mentally dialed in. And they were that. And then when they got to the top, you know, I think they were just exhausted. I think the bigger players, especially the big body guys, the smaller guys on the team, those guys have been used to powering up their entire life. They never get tired. They never let themselves get tired. Their size has forced them to will themselves to the National Hockey League. So to me, it's just some fatigue. And unfortunately, the goalies bear the brunt of that fatigue when the team starts opening up the ice and guys are missing checks. And one of the things that's kind of hidden everybody is the fact that Ovi was scoring goals and he was keeping them in these games lately. And you know, the excitement. So everyone's talking about that, where there wasn't a highlighter or a spotlighter on the diminishing play of some of the players. The good news to me in handicapping the game the way I have my entire life is that, you know, this lull is better to have it where it's been in this part of the season than at the last week of the season and in the first round. So I think the guys will power up once again. They'll get it together. The emotional and mental fatigue that's been there will disappear, and they will be ready to roll. And it's not a cocky team. I saw some cockiness and arrogance in the past, and I think it was more ignorance than anything when they faltered in late March and early April. They said, no, we're just waiting for the first game. It's all, well, you can't just turn it on. So now the players have been very tempered in what they say, and they haven't let that get away from them. They haven't added ammunition to anyone else's, motivation to play well and shove it down their throats. It's just a matter of getting physically set, emotionally and mentally reset, and I think they'll come out buzzing in that last week of the season, the first game of the playoffs. And you never know what team they're going to have on the ice the last week, you know, who's going to sit and who's going to get a rest and what's going on. And you know, I've said all year long, they're a contender. As long as they stay healthy, you still need some luck. But they've got the team, the players, and the coaching to go all the way. And after that, it's all about the bounces and a lot of other things. But luck plays a big part in this, and health is probably the biggest of anything. And that can sabotage your success at any part in the season. So as they power up and get healthy again, I think they're still going to be very formidable, and they're going to look like the team that we've seen for 80% of the season.
Alan, you touched on one thing I want to follow up on. They might sit guys, rest guys, understandably, right, with this long grind. Is it tough to kind of get that edge back while the lineup may be a bit inconsistent here over these last five games?
No, I don't think. These are all proud guys, and you know, some of them, they need a rest, whether they believe it or not. And I love that about hockey, is that guys play hurt and people go, why would they ever play hurt? And I've got people that, you know, wives and girlfriends of players, like they just don't get it. Well, that's how you got here. It's being mentally tough and pushed through. The only way to keep an injured player out of a game is to tell him he's not playing. And the player will never say, well, I don't know. You've got to tell them. So they need a reset. Fooling around, and they've got Ryan Leonard in the lineup right now. They may call some guys up from the American Hockey League, and they track everything now in practice. They've got these little monitors that looks like an Apple Watch almost that slides into their equipment, and they track heart rates, resting heart rates, all these different things, and they can tell who's dragging, and it buys them some favor. But in my opinion, the guys will be ready whether they rest or not, but when you put the motivation of the Stanley Cup in front of them, everyone will be ready to go. There's no excuses when you play game one, game two, any game in the playoffs. There is no excuse. Injury even is not an excuse. When you put your jersey on, you got to go.
Well, Alan, thanks for hopping aboard with us. I know it's been a busy 24 hours for you and, frankly, a few weeks for you guys over at the network. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Alan.
There's Alan May joining us from Monumental Sports on Grant and Danny. You know, Ovi is at 895. He's probably not going to get to 900 this season, although if he finishes like he's gone the last week or two, it's possible.
Yeah, let's go five more games in a row with a goal. That's 900.
But if he were to come back and play next season, he's under contract too. He's supposed to. It would be surprising if he didn't. I guess the only way he wouldn't, Danny, is if they won a Stanley Cup this year and then he just, you know, skated into the sunset, so to speak. But he's going to get 900 plus, maybe 925, 930, whatever. The reason I bring it up is there any thought, if he has another season next year where he doesn't show major regression, to extending him again? And when he's, at that point, 40 years old, maybe signing a 1 or 2 year deal, because they're still going to be cup caliber with all the talent they've got coming, it looks like, and the cap exploding and only adding to the organization. And if he's still a 30-goal guy, why wouldn't you want him on your power play?
Seriously,
and
right?
A part of the team. I mean, he's 1,000 in the offing. Let's get into that on Grant and Danny as we continue on The Fan.
Alex, congratulations on 895. You're on a mountain by yourself. Congratulations. Well done. I know it was a big commitment. And congratulations to your entire family, all your friends, all your fans, and of course, all your teammates. Good for you, man. Well done.
Did you just play a Wayne Gretzky clip? Did you clear that with corporate Clary
right
first?
Right in Clary's eyepiece.
I want to ask Linnell about this before we go to Clary. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Because I think it's a generational thing, probably. But I could be wrong. So Ryan's had a bit of a beef today. He thinks yesterday was a little bit too much about Wayne Gretzky. And we'll let him say his piece. But essentially, he thinks Wayne was too involved. He thinks it was too much about the passing of the torch, which I found romantic. And the pageantry was cool. And I thought it was awesome. But is that how you'd sum it up, Danny? That essentially he's been anti-Gretzky all day long?
Not even, yes, that's the baseline. But it's now, there's an air of dismissiveness and disdain, like a who is even this guy that's in Ovi's way? Like, it's to that level. With just this is my biggest issue. Now, Ryan's like, Ryan's fault that every young person is this way to me. But this is like, if I was to generalize about this generation, they think they know everything that there is to know about everything. And are so dismissive of anything that was.
Oh.
See what I'm saying?
And so you're making this like a...
Yeah.
Basically,
old
this
people
is
yelling at young people.
An thing. Indictment on all Gen Z.
Yeah, whatever generation his is, there's a certainty, there's an utmost confidence in everything and anything that they know the thing. And because it happened and I didn't see it, it didn't count.
Well, sounds like a nice time to call on the youngest in charge.
Mm.
He of the youngest in charge movement. Linnell
Toby?
Willingham.
Oh, look.
Toby's not here.
He's not here. So the youngest here.
So the youngest currently here.
Youngest currently here.
Well, although Ryan's here.
Well, yeah.
Second youngest.
Ryan actually has a point. See, when you guys, you older folks, when you talk about basketball, when you talk about hockey folks, Wayne Gretzky was playing in the easiest goal-scoring era ever in the NHL. And then with like Kareem and Jordan, we're in the golden era of basketball right now. So, yes, LeBron James is the greatest of all time.
Well, first of all, he just did the thing.
You see?
Yeah.
If I was to look, hey, is there any way to encapsulate the entire generation? Oh, there it was. Just
don't
there.
Take
perfect.
The bait. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Don't.
No,
I mean,
no,
he just
no,
called
no,
this
no.
The golden era of basketball.
Sure. Right
that's,
now.
That's pretty rich.
Isn't it perfect?
I mean, the NBA is borderline unwatchable.
You having fun every night?
That's pretty rich. All right. But that having been said,
it's Rich Paul.
I want to stick to the task at hand here. I'm not going to allow you to bait me into a fight here, Linnell, over LeBron and Michael Jordan. But.
As I tried to do.
With Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
You didn't think it was cool that the greatest player of all time, who's the previous record holder, was kind enough to follow Ovi around and had the class, his wife's getting him getting Ovi's wife a present. Like, you didn't think that added to the experience?
It was cool. It's Ovi's day. I kind of get where Ryan's coming from, but like, he was supposed to be there, yeah. J.P. Finley yesterday during the old celebration tweeted out, Gretzky out here cutting wrestling promos. That was the moment I realized he probably said one word too many. And he stole the moment.
He did talk for 2 minutes and 22 seconds.
He stole it.
It's not his fault he gave a hell of a speech, by the way.
Well, up for debate.
Let's play his speech, but cut out all the parts about Islanders fans. Because that's when he was cutting the promo. He came out of gorilla position, as they call it, out of the back, right? And he was running down to the ring. He was talking about how great the crowd was. I'm glad I'm not playing, you know, at the old Nassau Coliseum, because you guys used to beat me pretty good there. And everyone's like,
yay.
He knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But he said a lot of nice things about the man of the hour. It could be my party, and if Danny gives a toast,
yeah, that's the whole point.
It doesn't mean...
It's the best man speech.
Exactly.
It's still Ovi's time.
You're not stealing the show. If Danny gives a really funny best man speech at my wedding, Danny's a big jerk. He did a really good job with his speech. They gave Gretzky 2 minutes and said, go kill it. And he did.
But we're here today to celebrate this guy here, number 8. I can tell you firsthand, I know how hard it is to get to 894. 895 is pretty special. My congratulations to not only Alex, his mom and dad, his family, his wife and kids. When I broke the record, my two kids were about the age of his boys. So it's kind of reminiscing for me, and I'm so happy that two of my boys are here tonight. But there's nothing better than the National Hockey League. They say records are made to be broken, but I'm not sure who's going to get more goals than that. It's the greatest game in the world. I want to congratulate every organization, the commissioner in the league, and to the referees who do such a great job. Our sport is so hard. Oh. Trust me, I was John McEnroe a lot when I played.
So pause it real quick. The kids will say no notes. That was weird. I did think to the referees, that made no sense. Like that, you could have, do you agree with me on that? That made no sense. That was weird.
A bit of a swerve.
Why did he do that? I don't know. Did he make eye contact with one of his buddies who's a ref?
Well, the point to me was it takes a lot of people to put this whole thing on. And, you know, congrats to everybody sharing in this moment a little piece of it.
But
he didn't say it that way.
He's just saying nice things about the Ovechkins and his kids. That was too much for you, huh, Clary?
No, it's not even that. There is a time and a place for Wayne Gretzky to give a speech like that. No, like
at
after the game.
During the ceremony.
Like right after the game. Because if I'm not mistaken, did Wayne Gretzky break that record or was it Alex Ovechkin? You'd probably think Wayne Gretzky because he's the first one giving a speech. And you guys were mentioning this, and honestly, I think it's a great point. You're like, this is like the best man speech. Well, the best man speech doesn't happen during the wedding. It happens at the reception after the wedding. That's when it should have happened.
That was the ceremony.
That's quite literally the ceremony, dude.
But there is no other ceremony. You keep saying after the game.
Yes.
After the game, everyone's going home.
The whole point is they stopped it to honor him.
I'm sitting on my fat ass playing a video game.
No,
he's talking to no one in the arena?
Well, in my opinion, Wayne Gretzky should not have given this 2-plus-minute speech. Yesterday was about Alex Ovechkin. First thing,
the speech was about
Ovechkin. Who was he talking about?
It was about the Islanders fans. It was about the stupid referee. It was everything except Alex Ovechkin. Mm. And also,
you lose me at except when the majority of the speech was about Ovi.
Okay, yes, it was a little bit about Ovi, but also let me just kind of talk about this real quick. I was watching the TNT broadcast because unfortunately Monumental wasn't working for me yesterday. First thing they did when Alex Ovechkin broke the record was they cut to Wayne Gretzky right away. It's not about Wayne Gretzky. It's not about Wayne Gretzky giving some 2-plus-minute speech. It's about Alex Ovechkin. And in my opinion, it took a little bit of the shine away from Ovi and the accomplishment that he just had.
Are you the guy that screams about them showing Taylor Swift for 2 seconds?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, so here's what doesn't in any way affect my enjoyment yesterday. The 3 seconds when they showed Gretzky, because they did it on Monumental too. If they stayed on him, if they had a Gretzky cam for the whole time, that would be annoying. They show the dog pile for 15 seconds. They go up to the booth and you see Gretzky and his wife hugging and kissing. And then they go back to Ovi. You know what everyone's thinking? He did it. He passed Gretzky. Oh my God, there's Gretzky.
Well,
happens to be there.
You remember, Grant, you love remember the Titans, right?
I do.
Do you remember how they never showed any of the Titans' opponents? who they had to play and get past. They just showed the Titans doing stuff because the movie's about the Titans. Don't you have to have someone to pat? Don't you have to have some point of reference? Like, are you, is it like, are you that insecure about all this? That the whole point is the greatest player in maybe any sport ever, by the way, like the statistically so dominant, certainly the best hockey player of all time. The whole point is he broke an unbreakable record, and this guy's right there to see it, who's going to say gracious things about our dude. Like, you couldn't handle a couple of seconds?
To Danny's point, by the way, in a way that there is no other debate, you know, like, sharpied, no stop over debate in any other sport, because you guys have ruined Jordan's clear number one, because you guys, is ill-informed and misinformed, love the clownery that is LeBron James so much. So now you've muddied the waters on how clearly he was the greatest player ever. Luckily, there's not some stat-compiling whiny baby in hockey who's been around for 30 years with a fresh hairline over the last couple of years somehow, who just keeps, you know, connecting the dots and getting better and better and better. Having said that, though, in hockey, there's no debate. He is the guy, the greatest that ever lived. He's just as an ambassador. He's there to pass the torch. And for all, he's a Canadian guy. And for all the Canadians that are going, oh, this Russian player, I can't stand this, he is kind of making it okay. Wayne's there telling us it's okay. Then it's okay.
That's great. I'm an American man. Like, I don't know how many Canadians versus Americans were watching yesterday's game. I wanted to see Alex Ovechkin. I wanted to hear what he had to say first and foremost. And then after the game, let's get Gretzky in the locker room.
So
let's get him out.
So your issues with the NHL then, and having a ceremony?
I think so, yes.
Hang on. What would your ceremony have been?
My ceremony.
He scores the goal. What happens?
You see the celebration. You roll out the red carpet. You have Wayne Gretzky there to the side. No, you have Wayne Gretzky there sitting to the side. They have a little hockey stick for him. They pass the torch, theoretically, in that situation, and bam. If Wayne Gretzky wants to give a few remarks, that's awesome. That's for after the game. We can roll out the red carpet yet again.
After the game? What do you mean after the game?
After the game, like he did in the locker room where he gave another speech.
To the team.
To the team.
Yeah. You know who was there excited about it? Every player who were like four-year-olds asking for the guy's autograph and a picture.
Yeah, like they didn't see him 2 days ago because he was there again giving another speech.
You're right. And they got pictures then too. And he gave a great speech that night too.
Should they have done it outside the arena for the fans as they're filing out? Like so your issue is really with the NHL for having a ceremony altogether. Are you mad at the commissioner?
I am mad at the commissioner. Okay. I'm sure he
should he have spoken or no? Not okay that
he's no. He should have spoken.
Oh, he should have spoken.
He should have spoken. But I think to go first and foremost before Alex Ovechkin, it was a little bit too much in that scenario.
Do you get the symmetry of the record holder speaks and hands the mic off to the new record holder?
Yes. Hand that mic off about a minute 30 earlier. How about that?
So, a little inconsistent here. Was the issue that it was 2 minutes and 20 seconds?
He's all over the place. Well, he's all over the place.
The issue's either that he spoke or that it was too long. It can't be both.
Oh, that there's a ceremony to begin with. It should have been post-game or something like that.
We're taking you up to 6:15 at the top of the hour. I want to get into the national championship game tonight and the fact that the Commanders have signed a former star to help coach on the offensive side of the ball. You're listening to G&D.
Hi, Obi.
Hey, big man. Obi, congrats on making history.
Just want to congratulate you on breaking the record.
895, absolutely amazing. That's a lot of goals.
It's unbelievable.
Well deserved.
It was an absolute honor getting to play with you and to call you a friend. It's been an amazing journey, being a part of it, being in Wash with you and see all the amazing goals that you score.
So happy for you and your family. Congratulations to you and your family.
Congrats again, and let's score a couple more.
All the best.
Three members of the Seattle Kraken who were a part of the Stanley Cup team with the Caps in 2018. Andre Burakovsky, Philip Grubauer, Chandler Stephenson. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We thank everybody for taking part in today's celebration of Alex Ovechkin. Tony is in Arlington. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Grant, how are you? How's Danny doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you on the pickleball court again, Danny.
Yes, sir.
Hey, guys, my point, I just told your a screener out there, I'm a retired military guy, and when the military people change command, the change of command is more about the person who's leaving, kind of like what I saw with Gretzky. Gretzky held that title for how long? How long has he had that record? 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of want to give him some due there. I understand Ovechkin broke it. That's awesome. He's the king now. But you know what? How many years is he going to have it? How much? It's going to all be all about Ovechkin. They'll probably still bring up Gretzky once in a while, but it's now going to be about Alex. So in my mind, you're kind of giving him that due, that respect, because I felt Alex did in the interview. He's kind of saying, hey,
totally.
How long has he held this thing? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
What I'm saying,
for
you
me,
kind of,
it's about
you kind
the...
You have to give him that, right?
So you mentioned military. I think this is all feeding out of the same trough. But for me, sports is about respect.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I don't have better words. I overuse pageantry or romanticism. But like, there's an order to things. After you have a knockdown dragout series for 7 games, you go out there and you shake their hands. When you lose a game, you stand there and you answer questions. Like, there's just a way you got to handle yourself as a professional athlete that you learn at a very, very young age. And I think it's why a lot of us make our kids play sports. And when Gretzky's being passed, you can suck on a lemon and kind of sit in your mansion in California, wherever you're living, or you can follow him around and really be an ambassador for the game like Gordie Howe was to him. And that's what he chose to do, and I just think it was a win for the entire league. It was awesome to have them together, essentially. One of my favorite Ovi moments ever came back to the forefront last night as I was doing just hours of scrolling and all Ovechkin content.
Just going Ovi deep dives.
If you don't believe in algorithms, I mean, last night was a tough argument because Instagram knew I wanted to find Alex
Ovechkin. Whoever's in charge knew, I'll say that.
Do you remember when he played golf for the first time and he got a hole-in-one?
No.
You don't remember this?
Oh, no.
It's iconic. So the first time he ever went out and played golf, he's barely been in America here playing hockey, maybe first year or whatever with the Capitals, and he's still very broken, like not great English yet, and he goes out there to play hockey, play golf rather, with his hockey swing, and he's so bad. He's like swinging and missing the ball constantly. Well, on a par 3, he connects and hits a hole-in-one. In his first round of golf ever. This was some of the scenes from that.
Oh! I hit it! Yeah! I shot that with that one, I got it! I swear to God!
My first golf game, and I scored one shot. And, you know, I shot it and I scored. Then I hear jumping, screaming, and what's still happening? I said, where is Tiger? I didn't see Tiger here.
They say that when you get a hole in one, you're supposed to buy everybody drinks.
Yeah.
How come you didn't buy everybody drinks?
Soon I buy it, because a couple of days and we have first game. I don't want our team will be drunk.
Doesn't want to go out partying with the boys. That would change a little bit.
I was going to say.
During the Rock the Red
that's
era.
That's a different...
This was one of my other favorite clips that we kind of stumbled into from Alex Ovechkin over the years. But the screaming of, I got it. That was the term he used. Yeah. Like, I got it. I scored. Come on, man.
Try not to have fun thinking about it. I don't remember that. How long ago was that from? Was that like, that must have been early career.
It sounded
like
his first game.
Yeah.
Either of his career or certainly of like his second season.
But it sounded like, you know, teenage or early 20s, Ovi. That didn't sound like the slightly deeper voice with a lot of wear and tear on it. That was like the higher pitched Ovechkin early on. But the young guy just explaining, I hit it. I did it.
As a rebuttal to Clary, Wayne Gretzky, asked by the league and by the Capitals to take part in all the festivities, said that he obliged and vowed to be there. This is what the great one had to say.
The integrity of the game, you know, when I was breaking Gordie Howe's record, he was there, and I said 2 years ago that if Alex gets close to my record, I'll be here. That's the National Hockey League, right? From Beliveau to Howe, Orr, Lemieux, Messier, you pass it down. And I hope, and you guys might not believe me, if somebody breaks Alex's record, I hope Alex is there to shake his hand. But right now, I hope Alex enjoys it. And he deserves all the credit and accolades he's getting. But the game is my life, right? I'm a Canadian who played, lucky enough to play in the NHL. And everything I have in my life, from my family to my friends to my memories, is because of the National Hockey League. And I tell kids who get drafted all the time, work hard. Gordie Howe told me, have fun, and you're going to love it. There's no better job in life than to play in the National Hockey League.
The great one, Wayne Gretzky.
So annoying. Keeps mentioning Gordie Howe. It's supposed to be about Gretzky answering those questions. God, it's so annoying, said Ryan.
National championship games tonight.
Natty.
Let's preview that. And wait till you hear who's going to be on the Commanders coaching staff this year. Next on The Fan.